Okay, let's lift up Dr. Kwok and his family. He's a teacher, evangelist, does a lot of traveling. Let's encourage him right now. Father God, we just thank you for this man. We ask you continue to keep him strong and healthy physically. God, help him to keep a sound mind, Lord Jesus, to continue to discern what you have to say to him so that he can speak to us from your word, God, from your spirit. God, watch over his wife, his marriage, watch over his child, Ethan, God. Continue to make him a man of influence, Lord, there at USC and around the world, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As Pastor Kurt mentioned, that I do travel a lot, sometimes ministering in other churches uptown, and also sometimes teaching elsewhere. So you don't see my face a lot in church. I've been preaching a series on discipleship. Today, I would like to speak on the topic called A Life of Giving. So the topic is A Life of Giving. I'm going to go through several ways. Introductions, the origin of tithing, why God wants us to tithe, some common practice, and reflections, have we robbed God? And then we draw the conclusions. How about let brothers and sisters read together? Malachi 3:7-12. Let's go. Ever since bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So the topic is a life of giving. I will ask us to bow our heads and pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us brothers and sisters and seekers in this room to worship you. May your spirit speak to you in hearts. We praise you. May our worship be pleasing in your eyes. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of times we say we love God. Talk is usually cheap. How do you really know that you are loving God? Actually, there are two simple ways that test whether you truly love God or not. In modern times, the two things that are most precious to people. One is time. The other is money. As the Bible mentioned, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. So today I would like to talk with you about money. There are two tests we can test whether we truly love God. First of all, let's talk about time. Have you been giving about 16.8 hours to God every week? Why do I say 16.8 hours? How many hours in total in 1 week? 24 times 7 is 168. 1/10 of that is 16.8 hours. So you count all your time. Devotion, coming to fellowship, okay, practice with a singing, all these together. Is it equal or more than 16.8 hours? That gives you a bottom line. Second, do you tithe or more than tithing? If you cannot meet this criteria, talk is cheap. You don't really love God. God really put us to test all the time. Do you really love me? So today we would like to talk about tithing. Actually, we can trace the origin of tithing First, in Genesis, could I ask the sister to read us, read it out for us? Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Sister, go. I think those people who are familiar with Genesis, you know that when Abraham fought, at the time his name was Abram, was fought a successful battle against those kings, five kings, and he brought a lot of the things back, and he gave 1/10 of this, the king of Salem. He's actually also a high priest. And that's the beginning, in the first part in the Bible, they mention about tithing, giving 1/10. And then this concept is enforced when we have those the 12 tribes. Numbers 18:21. May I ask the brothers to read together? Brothers. I give
to the Levites all the tithes in Israel and their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting.
So since the Levites are not working on the field, they need to minister in the house of the Lord. So God gave the tithes to support the Levites. So from then on, the Old Testament time, we still have this practice of old tithing. Then people ask, if that's the case, that only applies to the OT time, the Old Testament time. Does it still apply to the New Testament time? Because we know that according to the Old Testament time is a time of rules, commandments. But in New Testament time is the time of blessings, grace. So would that kind of old rule still apply to the New Testament time, tithing? So let's read one passage from the Matthew 23-23. Let's read together. Woe to you, teachers of the law. This is the passage said by our Lord Jesus Christ. He was blaming those Pharisees. He says, you are hypocrites. Why? Because although you tithe, you ignore some even more basic essential things, namely justice, mercy, and faithfulness. It doesn't mean that Jesus said, you don't need to take care of your tithing. Look at here. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So you should practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness with no neglecting what you have been doing, tithing, the mint, dill, and cumin. So Jesus actually reinforced the Old Testament tradition of giving. In fact, in the New Testament time, there's a new principle of giving. Can we ask the brothers to read that? 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. Brothers.
Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
We are not under the peer of law, but we are under a lot of grace. So when we give in the New Testament time, we should have the right attitude. There's no compulsion, not reluctantly, but gives with a cheerful heart. Be a cheerful giver. So that's the principle of New Testament. Then we ask, why does God want us to do that? Why does he want us to put aside 1/10 of our income and give it? I think there are three major reasons I can gather. The first reason, of course, is practical need. The church needs money. The church needs money because just like we have pastors, we have two pastors, we have also workers in the church, so they have the living, so we need to support them. So there's a practical need. So therefore, church needs to have retreat, evangelistic meetings, all these require expenses, so we need to support the church. That's a practical need. But actually, that's not the most important reason to me. The most important reason is actually is training our understanding about concepts. How is the concept different from Buddhism and Christianity in terms of giving? In Buddhism, when you visit the temple, then you give some money to the temple. With the understanding of what? With the understanding, if I give you something, I'll get something back. I'll give blessings. Because this is my money, I give you some money, then in exchange, you receive some grace, some blessing. But that's not the idea of Christian faith. The Christian faith is based on Psalms 24:1. Let's read that together. The earth is the Lord's. Under the Bible, we own nothing. All things belong to God. We are actually just a steward. We own nothing. God gave us a lot of things to use, but God wants us to save one-tenth of that to give back to Him, mainly to train you to remember this is from God. And it's also one way to turn saying, God, I thank you. It's actually a part of the training in that all the things that we own right now do not belong to us. It belongs to God. We are just stewards. God said you can use 9/10 of that, but give 1/10 back to the church because I want to train you. I want to train you for three things: love, hope, and faith. Do you really love me? Talk is cheap. Show me that you really love me. Something that you have, give it back to me to show that you love me. Hope. What's your focus of life? If your focus is always on intermediate things, temporal things, you don't have an eternal perspective. I need to train you. Don't just focus on immediate material needs, but of an eternal perspective. And faith. Sometimes I know that maybe by just calculating, you do not have enough money to afford tithing. But trust me, if you do this, see how I can bless you. So God is used tithing, giving, to actually train us to be what? To be like Him. That's the bottom line. All the things we own actually belong to God. God just wants to take us, we put 1/10 back in order to train our love, our hope, and our faith toward Him. Let me share a simple illustration of you. One time there's a poor man. There's one poor man passing by a big house. The house is very beautiful. Not that house, it's a mansion. Not just the house is big. The yard, the garden is also big. There are a lot of flowers, beautiful flowers in the garden. And this poor man passed by, he is enjoying this three-wheel, beautiful garden, beautiful flowers. And then observe, he see that there's actually another man working in the garden. So he's curious, and he went. He went to talk. He said, "Mr. Gardener, who owns this house? Oh, you really have skills. You can see your master must be very proud. You can see you can bring up a lot of beautiful flowers." And that man said, "I'm sorry, actually, I'm not a gardener. I'm the owner of the house." "Oh, sorry. You're the owner of the house. But you do yourself. Put all these beautiful flowers together. That's wonderful." And the rich person say, "Actually, you can do that yourself. I can teach you how to do it. I'll show you how to plant these flowers." The poor man say, "I wish I could. I don't have money. I like you. I don't have land. I don't even afford to be able to buy seeds, flower seeds." The rich man said, "Don't worry. I'll give you a piece of land. Don't worry. Even the seeds, I'll provide you. So you grow the flower, enjoy the flowers, with one condition. When the flower blossoms, for every 10 flowers, save one and give you to your neighbor. share with them. And this is the way you pay me back. You don't need to give me back money back. Just plow the land, cultivate the flowers, and when all these flowers blossoms, just say one out of 10 and give your to your labor. So the poor man got the land, get the seeds, and cultivates really diligently, and indeed the methods work. All these beautiful flowers blossom. And then he start looking at the flowers. One of 10. Too much. So he picked one flower. Give that piece of leaf to his labor. Give a leaf to the labor. How would the rich man think? How would the rich man think? You own nothing. Why do you hold everything back? That doesn't belong to you. Be generous. Lead a life of giving. Because God wants you to be like Him. To resemble Him. Because our God is a giving God. All things belong to Him. He just wants to test you. Are you willing to be like Him? And lead a life of giving. I can see that in church there are several patterns of giving. Some people seldom give. Occasionally maybe just some small amount of money. Some people give but irregular. They may not give for a long time, but maybe by the end of the year they give a good amount of money. Some people give regularly, maybe every month, even every week, but the amount is very small, inadequate. Some people give regularly and also faithfully, tithe. And some people have a special gift of giving. Not only do they tithe, they give more than one tenth. Maybe two-thirds. Maybe two-tenths, three-tenths. And even some people say that, actually, God gives us so much. I just keep the money I need for my living, all the rest, giving back to church. That's amazing. But that requires a gift to give. But at least I think we need to go to the fourth level, regular and faithful. Among us, we have some youngsters. You say, Dr. Kwok, I don't have money. I'm not making any income right now. How can I give? I'm exempted from that. Theoretically, you're exempted from that, okay? But you really like to express your love to God and be thanksgiving, I teach you one method. Years back in our student fellowship, there's a Taiwanese girl from Taiwan. She's a student. She makes no money. She doesn't have a citizenship. She counts on her income, her allowance from the families in Taiwan. And she said, okay, although I have no income, but I want to give. Because this is a token way for me to express my love to God, and also way to show my care for other people, care for the church. I don't know that I can give a lot, but I'm willing to try that. So, she counts all her allowance every month, and put aside one-tenth. In other words, she dines out less often, maybe call one of the movie going, or maybe buy one dress less, in order to save that amount of money, to express his love of God and other people. You know what? It's not how much you give that counts. It's your attitude and heart. Why? Why do we give? It's a way to train you to be like God. So don't go forgo this opportunity to practice and lead a life of giving, because our Lord is a Lord of giving. Have love for Him, have hope, and also have faith in Him.
I remember one story illustration about Mr. Rockefeller. You know, Rockefeller is in American history one of the richest men in American history. And when he was young and a boy, he may make money, or his mother gave him allowance. But the mother teacher taught him very well. For every $10, the $10 he gave, the mother said, "You must give $1 to the church." So under the instruction of the mother, Mr. Rockefeller, when he was a boy, he did not have a lot of money. He just gave $1. And when he grew up, he became a millionaire. And he said, "Nowadays I'm making tons of money. But every month, I'll just write a check. And I really thank my mother. Without her training when I was a boy, it's very hard for me to write a check now. 1/10 of my income is a lot. But there's a good training. When I was a boy, I always tithe. So to me now, nothing. Just write a check and give it back." You know, brothers and sisters, it's not important how much you give. It's whether you have the right attitude. Because all the things belong to God anyway. Even without your giving, the church is going to go on. God's ministry still go on without you. It's just God wants you to partake in this privilege, to give this opportunity for you to express your love and care for other people, and love and care for Him. Bring the whole tithe into the warehouse, and every week we do that, or every month. I have a careful confession to make. I was not a faithful tithe. I was not a faithful giver for a while. And I learned a hard lesson. So now I'm to blame you. Actually, I'm blame myself. I just want to share with you my experience before and after I faithfully tithing. You know, Shirley and I came from Hong Kong, and I still studied my PhD degree, and then after graduation, I came to Carolina to teach. I don't think professor makes a lot of money. We did not, at least at that time. Upon graduation, I worked at USC, teaching there. I count up my monthly income. We don't have a house even. We have to pay rent for a house. I have a broken car. Shirley also has a car. And then besides monthly living expenses, we also send money back to Hong Kong, to parents of both sides. So when I count every month, I find that I really do not have a lot of excess to give. And after all, the pastor seldom talk about giving, tithing. So I'm hopeful. I'm free. So every month, beginning of the month, I kind of just put one hand against my heart, the other hand write a check, and just give a small amount of money every month. I am that kind of person number three. I give regularly, but not adequate. Somehow I know there is something wrong, but I do not want to face it. I put one hand to my heart. The other side write a check. And I give myself an excuse. I just cannot afford. At that time, our church is worshiping in the First Baptist Church. We usually, because we don't have our building, we use their facilities in the afternoon to do worship. In the morning time, we are home. We're waiting for afternoon worship. In the morning time, sometimes we turn on TV and watch what? Pastor pray, preaching. Besides our regular worship, we like to listen to messages on TV. And one morning we turn on the TV. The First Baptist Church pastor was preaching. That was the month of February. And what happened? Which passage did he preach? Right here. Malachi 3, 7 and 12. Okay, let me ask the brothers to read again. Brothers, ever since pastors and title's measure that day is called, have you robbed me? Oh, that's very scary. So here in the Malachi it says, God is blaming them. You know what? You're robbing me. So the Israelites respond, what's going on? We are just a mere mortal, you, God. How can I rob you? God said, you're not tithing. When you're not tithing, you're actually robbing me. Well, that's a very serious accusation. Robbing God. So when I see the message, the title, there's actually an urge in my heart at the time. I really want to go forward and turn off the television. Because I know that it's going to hit the heart. But when I try to do that, the Holy Spirit really bum 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 convict me. So I better not. I just asked Shirley, my wife, sit at the sofa. Let's quietly, obedient, sit at the sofa and listen. Oh, the day the pastor really preached, have you robbed me? After listening to the message, I said, Shirley and I just bow down, kneel down, and pray to God, say, God, forgive us. We have been robbing you for so many years already. And thank you using this opportunity to reuse something that's not so good in our hearts. Reveal in us that something we have to deal with. Because we are not living a life of giving. We are not practicing love, hope, and faith in you. So after the message, I call the treasurer. I tell the church treasurer, I ask you to forgive me that I have not been tithing. And the treasurer said, no, this is not my business. This is between your God. And I don't know actually how much you give. I said, I want to confess. I want you to call me accountable. From now on, I will tithe. Knowing where the world, that I may not have enough money to live on. But God said, ladies, please, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. There's not many places in the Bible said you can test God. This is only one of the places. Very seldom. very rare, but God said, I give you the right to test me. Try me. See whether I'm a faithful Lord. So from then on, I start faithfully tithing. And interesting, you see, I'm a very, not very tidy person, especially as money is concerned. I don't even know how much I really make. I do not balance my checkbooks every month. But that year, I think that I have enough money to eat for my daily allowance, monthly allowance. I'm not short of anything, not knowing how the money comes from. Year after year, the same thing. It's just that the money increases year after year. This is exactly what he says. Test me and see if I have not open the rod gates of heaven and pour so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I make a good sum of money, but I still lead a simple life. I know there's this blessing from God. The whole thing is not about money. The whole thing is about your attitude. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to be like Him. One passage that moves me a lot is how Abraham's sacrifice his son Isaac. Let's read that together. Genesis 22, 10 to 12. Let's read together. Then when God tests Abraham and asks him to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Abraham did that. But when Abraham wanted to start putting a knife into Isaac, the angel stopped him. That's enough. You passed the test. Instead, what happened? There's something in the bush. What's in the bush? And then they take out and sacrifice that. What does that represent? Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, He said, you can spare your own son, but I won't spare mine, because I love you. Because my very nature is to give. So brothers and sisters, live a life of giving in order to resemble God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us here together. Help us understand your very nature. You are a generous, giving God. You gave your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, just to die for our sins. The most precious of yours, you give out. Give it to us. Help us to learn from your example, to trust you, to love you, to put our hope on you, and have faith in you. So that we will practice faithfully what you teach us to tithe. So that we will grow more and more like you. And lead a life of giving. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.